Session 6, How Family Worship Will Change the World. When I was writing notes for this session, I wanted to call it How Your Family Worship Will Change the World, and then in parentheses, seriously. Because that just sounds like such a massive statement that if you have family worship in your home, it will literally change the entire world. And that's exactly what I mean to say. I know that it is a big statement, but it's biblically warranted. And here's what I mean. To understand that statement, that your family worship will change the world, we need to understand God's plan for the world. So the Bible does not speak about God saving people randomly whenever opportunities come up. No, he's a sovereign God. He has a perfect plan for the world. And so the Bible speaks about God saving a people for himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And what that means is that representatives from every distinct ethnic, language, and culture group will be born again throughout history and will spend eternity worshiping Christ. This is the scene that the Bible paints for us in Revelation 5, 9 through 10. There's this great crowd. Imagine the scene. There's this great crowd praising Christ. And here's what they say. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. So that's the good news, friends. The good news is that King Jesus will be praised by every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. It is a sure fact. The bad news is that there are thousands of people groups, distinct ethnic, language, culture groups that have never heard the good news that King Jesus came to save and reign as the good and glorious King of the world. They cannot praise his name because they have never heard it. They cannot learn about his name because there is no one telling it to them in their language. This is a tragedy. Christ is not currently, at this point in history, receiving the glory that he is due, because no one has ever praised his name among the Ngada tribe in Indonesia, or the Aceh people in China, or the Abkhaz people in Turkey. So if Christ were to come back right now, there would, as far as we know, be no representatives from those peoples around his throne. And if that were the case, then Satan would be able to accuse God for all of eternity that he was not worthy of praise from the Ngada or the Aceh or the Abkhaz. Not to mention that the individuals that make up these people groups would perish in hell for all of eternity. They have no escape from divine judgment unless someone goes to tell them the good news of Christ. But because of Revelation 5, and because honestly the entire book of Revelation, we know that that's not how the story will end. People will be redeemed from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Satan's accusations will be silenced. So we know that God has a plan to right this cosmic wrong and to bring the good news of Christ to every tribe, tongue, and nation. This is a big problem, but Christ gave a solution to this problem. Teaching his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he said this, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." So Christ's solution to the massive reality and tragedy of the unreached is to pray. In light of this great need Christ commands us to pray for the nations, asking God to send workers to tell them the good news of his Son, so that he would be glorified and so that the nations might be saved. We pray because we need God to do the sending and the saving. And I want to encourage you, don't just pray for the nations, but pray for the nations with your kids. We want our children to catch a global vision, to desperately long for Christ to be glorified among every tribe and tongue and nation. We want our children, from the very beginning of their lives, to consider their own role to play in this task of making disciples. Family worship can change the world because God works in response to your prayers to bring the good news of his risen Son to the ends of the earth. And so to help you pray for the nations, our family worship guides highlight a different unreached, unengaged people group every month, a distinct ethnic, language, culture group where Christ has never been named and has never been praised. We give you a people group focus sheet, and you can put it in your home. You can hang it on your fridge or on your wall or wherever, a prominent place in your home, to help you remind you and remind your children to pray for God's work among that people, to pray that the harvest is abundant. God, send laborers into that harvest. Through family worship and our prayers for the nations, we are showing our children every day that God is a treasure worth laying down their lives for. And that kind of love for God and that kind of zeal for his glory might lead our children to the ends of the earth, where they can be the answer to our prayers. They can proclaim the good news of his Son to those who will never otherwise hear it. Isn't that glorious? That's why our mission statement at GodCenteredFamily.org is to equip Christian parents to train their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord so that the whole earth would know that King Jesus is alive. We are looking for nothing short of world transformation, of every tribe, tongue, and nation hearing the good news that King Jesus is alive and he reigns. Friends, family worship will not just change your household. It will change the world. So let's join together and be a part of God's work among every tribe, every tongue, every nation.